just hate that we don't talk no more.
That right there is the brand new track from Etain alongside Tyg, and it's out now. It's called Not Over You. And Etain joins us in studio now, all the way from London. Explain the Irish connection, because you have not only Irish connections, but Waterford connections.
Yes, yeah. No, my mum grew up in Waterford. She was born here, and all her family are here, her brothers, her sisters.
And what's her surname now? Because that's important.
Walsh.
Walsh, of course. Right, okay, come on, you're all right. You're one of us. And then moved to London in her 20s.
Yeah, she was a nurse, so she moved over. And then I think my parents always in their mind thought they were going to move back, but I guess life just happened. And but they spend a lot of time over here anyway.
And your dad's surname is?
Rowe.
Rowe.
So his roots are Cork and Wexford.
Okay.
It's hard when the hurling is on. Other day, yeah. Cork and Wexford. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What if it doesn't win? No dinner.
So very much an Irish household growing up in London, then.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Hugely.
And you were telling like the full on flas, music competitions, the whole shebang.
Oh yeah, the whole thing. And I was doing the sessions in Dungarvan growing up and everything. I mean, it was just, even like my brother was doing London Irish rugby. Everything was Irish, Irish, Irish. And I think that happens, as you said, when somebody moves, when somebody emigrates. Mm-hmm. You kind of go either one of two ways. You kind of forget. Or it's like, I am Irish to my bones.
And that's your dad.
Yeah, literally. Welcome to the family.
Obviously, the musical background, it must have been a musical household, because it's probably just the natural thing. It wasn't a decision you made or anything. It was just in you to create music, and it was a natural thing that happened. This is the path you're on now.
Yeah, so I kind of started, I mean, there was always just countless tin whistles hanging around the house anywhere, in any crevice. You would find the weirdest places. And they were just surrounded by musical instruments. My parents both played different instruments, my brother too. And then one Christmas, my parents got me a guitar. And I was like, oh, thanks. I don't play guitar. And it lay there for about a year. And then I just kind of started writing songs when I was about 13 in my bedroom.
And taught yourself how to play the guitar.
Yeah. My mum taught me my first like 3 chords, 4 chords. So
that's all you need.
I completely agree.
Status quo made
four chords. That's every. Yeah, literally.
Yeah. So who were you listening to around those times then that kind of developed or put you on a path in your own direction?
So, in London, my mum would always have just the radio on. We had so many CDs in the kitchen, kind of classic music, a lot of Tracy Chapman, and I grew up with so much Irish music. The old tunes, the kind of...
Shanos kind of stuff.
Shanos, but also kind of Bob Dylan and all that kind of... Tracy Chapman, everything like that. But then I hit 13 and I heard Taylor Swift.
Your life changed forever.
And my life changed forever. Literally.
She seems to have that effect on anybody.
Oh my God, literally. I feel like when Taylor Swift fans meet, it's like, oh my God. Literally.
I've been backstage. She hates me for this, by the way.
I do. I hate him.
I've met Taylor Swift.
Never. And is not even a fan.
No, I am a fan. There is very few people in the music industry I have more respect for.
I would give up a toe for Taylor Swift.
This is exactly the vibe.
Okay, I'll take your toe and I raise it to a finger.
Yeah, literally.
We brought listeners, listeners won the chance to meet her as well. And oh my God, it's full on. It's just what I've seen in the studio here between you two times 1,000 at a gig, you know.
She's
amazing. She's amazing.
I love what she stands for as an artist. I feel like she stands for a lot of artists who are in the up and coming roots stage as well, which is nice. But yeah, so I started listening when I was younger to Taylor Swift, and I want to do that.
I
grew up with a lot of Avril Lavigne. Do you remember those cargo pants?
You're talking Vinny's language.
Yeah, you're talking my language.
So I used to, because you know, obviously she used to dress like cargo pants and ties. So I used to steal my big brother's cargo pants and my dad's work ties and make my parents call me Avril for about 2 years of my life.
Oh my God. I feel like if I was born 20 years younger, you would be me.
But again, I always will argue the case that that first Avril Lavigne album still stands up as one of the best pop rock albums of the century.
Oh my
so
God.
Far.
I still listen to that album all the time.
So
amazing.
If you're going to base your kind of style on something like that, you just listen to how those songs songs were put together and the melodies and the
I knew we liked her, Vinny. I knew we liked her.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly. Yeah. So I feel like I was kind of, when, I guess, obviously my parents, I grew up with that kind of music taste, but through my own music taste, it would have been like Taylor Swift, Avril Lavigne, and that kind of cemented songwriting into me a lot.
So tell us about the latest music then. We've just heard one of the new songs, and that's a collaboration with Tyg, but you've been releasing new singles yourself this year as well.
Yes.
And gigging more now, obviously, you're allowed to do so.
So I'm heading off to Germany on tour, which is, I've never been to Germany or on a European tour before.
Wow, that sounds very cool. I'm going to Germany on tour.
I know. When I say on tour now, it's like, oh my God, I just left my mouth. Yeah. gigs are happening more. Had my headline in London earlier on this year, which was sold out, which is crazy.
Amazing.
I was kind of expecting it just to be my mum with the cat in the audience. And then I peeked out, and there was just loads of people. And it was crazy meeting people who I'd never met, being like, oh, I cried to your music.
Yeah.
In a party in the bathroom. And I'm like, well, I just cry in the bathroom. Sorry about that. I don't listen to the music, but I just cry.
Well, a lot of your songs are like Bedroom Walls. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's about loneliness, I suppose, and just sitting in your bedroom.
That was
and
about a boy from Waterford.
Oh, can you name him?
Juicy now.
He's out there somewhere.
You're like, name drop him.
Please. No, maybe don't. So a boy from Waterford broke your heart and you wrote Bedroom Walls.
I don't know. I feel like I might have broken his heart a little bit.
Oh, lovely.
I don't know. It's kind of, I think it was an equal thing. He kind of, we saw each other for about 9 months. And I went to LA and he went to Boston. And
that's different sides of the US.
Yeah, he had his Erasmus. And it kind of, I mean, I'd been kind of brokenhearted before him. And then I was just very scared to, you know, when somebody hurts you and then the next person, it kind of impacts how you interact with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, literally. So I feel like I was holding back a lot and I think he felt that a lot. But I guess, looking back, I don't know.
Putting it all in a song was the perfect way to get rid of all of that then, surely.
Yeah.
That's what you do, isn't it?
That's the thing, though. I feel like when you're kind of sorry about a situation, I was thinking about this the other day, about how when you write a song about someone who's broke your heart, you get over it. Mm. And a few months later, the meaning to you changes. But when you hurt someone else, or equally you both hurt each other, you're always sorry. So when you sing the song, like, I'm never going to stop being sorry. Mm. You don't just wake up suddenly and say, I'm not sorry about that anymore.
Okay.
And so you feel it more.
My God, I really hope he's listening. I really, really do. There you go. That was for you.
That's the singers and songwriters have always probably had to deal with over the years. Ben Folds is a singer that I really like, and he wrote a song, an album with Nick Hornby.
Yeah.
And Nick Hornby wrote the words and Ben Folds put the music to it. And the song is called Belinda, and it's about a singer-songwriter who hates singing his biggest hit because it reminds him so much of Belinda. But every night he has to get up on stage and sing this
Everyone's
song.
Everyone's like, please, play Belinda.
Play the one song that ever was in the charts, but he hates singing it. So you have to deal with it somehow, that kind
of thing. Yeah, that's so true. You know, that's so heartbreaking. Oh my gosh, I've never even thought of that. Mm. That sounds like hell.
So hopefully you'll never get to that point.
Yeah, hopefully I won't name drop anyone.
Yeah, you hate singing your own song. You know.
I actually know, performing is one of my favourite thing in the world. I did a gig in Whelan's and I went on tour last year with Bjoga.
Oh yeah. Ed Sheeran fans would know because they work with him a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The Galway girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so that was crazy. It was so fun interacting with an Irish audience and stuff like that. So I love performing live and I don't think I'd ever get to that stage.
Yeah. So where are your London audience coming from? Is it social media? Is it online? Is it an Irish connection? Or where are people discovering you, you know?
I think all of it because in London, there is actually a really huge Irish community.
Right.
Before I released music, I was just, you know, I didn't have any listeners or anything like that. I just had songs that I kept on my phone and didn't talk to anyone about because I was embarrassed.
Was there a kind of a hurdle? What was the thing that made you kind of put that first song out? What was the first song that you kind of played for somebody?
So the first song I ever wrote was a song, not ever wrote, but the first song I ever recorded was a song, Pale Damp Cheeks, which is on my first EP. And There was a studio near me, Ealing Studios, and I called them, cold called them. I found the owner's name online, and I cold called, and I said, "Hi, my name's Etain. I really want to record a song." And
good woman.
Yeah, and then he put me in contact with a sound engineer. And at the time, I was like, "What's a sound engineer?" but I went in and I sang "Pearl Damp Cheeks," and that's actually the recording that's out now.
Wow!
And I put that on SoundCloud. Labels started getting in contact. Managers started getting in contact, and the thing about the music industry in London especially, it's so close-knit. Everybody knows everyone.
Yeah.
And it kind of hurdled very quickly. And then suddenly I had, like, my label offered a record deal. And
now you're
and
living the dream.
Tour.
And
yeah.
now you're going
yeah,
on tour, tour in Germany.
Yeah, no, I know. It's crazy. But
fantastic.
I guess,
well, you have the songs, you see. That's the thing. You know what I mean? You do have the songs to back it up.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing.
I'm so passionate about songwriting. I feel like I was always paranoid that I wouldn't want to write a couple songs and then have nothing to back it up if it went well.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wrote for years and years and years and have this huge backlog of music.
Oh, that's good news.
Yeah, huge. Like, my voice notes has over 7,000.
Fantastic. Don't lose your phone.
Yeah, no. I have at times, and the absolute stress. But
you need to iCloud those. Well, look, we absolutely love what we've heard. The brand new song that you just heard there is Not Over You, that you're doing in collaboration with Tyg. But to wrap things up, we have to play what is probably Vinny and my favourite song from the last couple of years.
Like, genuinely mean this. Like, sometimes you come, like anybody, we chat to, we love the new music. But honestly, we told you just before we started the interview, the first time I heard this song was on WLR in the building here. One morning I came into work and it was a Stop What You're Doing.
Yeah.
Who is that singing? Need to find out what that song is, because I'd never heard it before. So I know you're very, very modest, but honestly, it's one of my favourite songs of the past number of years from anybody. And I just love this. I really, really
it is. It's
that
a great tune.
So
and it's
happy.
Been such a pleasure to chat to you. Thank you so much for calling in, because I know you were like, "I'm in Waterford. I got to get on WLR."
Yeah, literally. Honestly, I'm so obsessed with this radio station. That's how I know that I'm home. That is how I know, because I hear your voices on the radio and I'm like, yes.
Back in Waterford.
Literally.
Well, listen, regards to your parents, and so we'll say hi to all the Walters. From what part of Waterford is your mum from originally?
Kilmac. So Thomas. Greenway. Nice walks.
Good stuff. Hi to all the Walters in Kilmac, Thomas. Thank you so much for dropping in.
Thank you for having me. It's been so fun. You guys are so fun.
Best of luck on the tour.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
And just keep sending us the new music and we'll keep playing it. This is Etain. We're going to wrap things up with this brilliant song, Stop What You're Doing. Listen to it. This is I Dare You.
Our story is broken, the place is cold. Our story is broken, the memories are headstones. I'm standing beside you staring.